صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject we are discussing is the seerah or the life history of the Messenger of Allah. And last week you had heard about the birth of the Prophet and the things that happened at the birth of the Prophet. And now we have come to the life of the Prophet, and we see that when we look at the birth of the Prophet, from the time he was born, few weeks after that, until he was of the age of 5 years old, he lived with his wet nurse Halima Sadia. And then at the age of 5, he came back to Makkah and to his mother Amina. And then it was at this age, that at the age of 6, that his mother Amina had died, and now he was left without a father and a mother. And then he went into the home of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. After he went to the home of Abdul Muttalib, he stayed with him for 2 years until Abdul Muttalib had died. And at the age of 8 years, he now was brought to the house of his uncle Abu Talib. And he lived with Abu Talib until the age of 25, when he was married with Khadija and moved out of the house of his uncle. So this is a brief summary of the life of the Prophet until the age of 25. When we see that at the time of his birth, the environment in Makkah, the environment in the region, was that the people were all well aware of the birth of the Prophet. He was born in Medina, in Makkah, and there everyone, they witnessed the events of that night. Now certain circumstances that are around these incidents, we will see that. what happened around that time and what was the effect of that. And here we see that right after his birth, right after the prophet was born, there was a oracle who was Jewish. He had come and asked, because he saw the signs, and around the time of his birth there were many Jews and groups and groups among them who would arrive in Mecca and go. They would be visiting Mecca. And at the time of his birth, there was an oracle who was there, and he was Jewish. And he also, when he saw the signs of the night of the birth, and he saw the light in the sky, and he saw all the events that happened, he also right away understood that the event has taken place. So he came to the chiefs of Quraysh and asked them, is there any one in your house who had birth? Is there any child that was born in your house? You know, they all said, well, you know, I mean, you can ask Abdul Muttalib, you know, I mean, maybe in his house. So he waited for Abdul Muttalib, and he asked Abdul Muttalib. And he said, yes, my grandson was born. So he said that I want to see him. Now Abdul Muttalib was hesitant because of the fact that, you know, there was attempts made on the life of Abdullah, and he knew that the life of the Prophet is also in danger. And this is a day after his birth. A day after his birth, and he said that I want to see him. You know, so he said that, I'm not bringing him out of the house. He said, then I will visit your house and see him there. Abdul Muttalib said, all right, you can come. So he went with him. He went with him, and then as he went there and he saw the Prophet. When he saw the Prophet, he says, yes. Looking at the signs of the Prophet, he says, yes, this is the child that has been promised. This is the child that has been promised, and he is going to become the last messenger of Allah. And he will be the one who is going to destroy the kings of the Jews. Right? This is a Jewish alim who's speaking. He says he is going to be the one who is going to destroy the kings of the Jews and the kingdoms of the Jews. And now obviously this was said, this was heard by many, and there was a lot of envy in Mecca. Envy towards Abdul Muttalib and towards the Prophet. So a lot of envy that was there, and a lot of people, they knew that, you know what, that he was, you know, that the Hashimis were being praised by all these people who would come there, and the news was certain. Now, at this time, it was the fourth day after the birth of the Prophet, that you see that the first person to accept Islam after the birth of the Prophet, first person to accept Islam was by the name of Sawad ibn Qareb. Sawad was an alim amongst the Arabs who was very well respected amongst the people of Mecca. When he saw the signs of the night, he knew something had happened, and he came to visit Abdul Muttalib, and he said, I want to see the Prophet. I want to see your grandson. Abdul Muttalib said, all right, this is the fourth day now after his birth. And he saw the Prophet. And as he saw the Prophet, he told Abdul Muttalib that I want you to be a witness. that I have accepted him as the messenger of Allah. I have accepted him as the messenger of Allah, and if I die before he declares his messengership, then know that I am a follower of his religion. This is what has been told in the books of the past, and hence, you see, again, people around the Prophet knew that he is a Prophet and became Muslim. He's an infant. He's only 4 days old, and this history is being written. He is 4 days old, and this history is being written. And then how ignorant and how illiterate are those Muslims who say that the Prophet himself did know that he was a Prophet. The whole world was waiting for his birth. All the ulama of the time were expecting him to be born. And when he was born, they were accepting his deen before it came. And now, how is it possible that the people around him all know that this child is special and this child is the last messenger of God, and the Prophet himself does not know it? You see, this is those who read history will see how absurd is the arguments of people who say that, for example, Rasulullah didn't know he was a Prophet until that angel, he came to him in the cave, and when the angel came, and then he got scared and ran away. Right? He got scared and ran away, and then, you know, a Christian monk had to tell him, you're a Prophet. A Christian monk had to tell him, you're a Prophet, and then he, instead of trusting the word of the angel, trusted the word of the monk. The angel told him, you are a messenger, he ran away. And when the Christian monk, you know, when he said, oh, you are a messenger of Allah, he started believing. My friends, understand this. This is, you know, when we read the history of the Prophet, and when we read what the incidents that happened before his birth, and at the time of his birth, and after his birth, it is ridiculous for people to even claim the fact that the Prophet was ignorant of the fact that he was a Prophet. You know, it was something that was mentioned in the books before. It is mentioned in the books before. Allah says that in the Quran, that, O Muhammad, we have put your zikr and your mention in all the books that have come before you. And all the alims of those books, they know that you are coming and they were waiting for you. You see, attempts were made on the lives of your ancestors to kill you, because they knew that you were going to be born. And so now after he is born, and when he is born, and you will see how Allah has made arrangements to protect him from his enemies. How Allah had made arrangements to protect him from the enemies. Now this incident that I'm mentioning from history, you see that this incident, when you look at it, you will see that it started at the time before his birth and went till the 7th year of the Prophet. Meaning when he was 7 years old, it went until then. Now I want you to understand this, right? What is happening? The Jews of Medina had made their attempts on the life of all the ancestors, including Abdullah. They made the attempt on Abdullah in Makkah itself. And hence, when they made the attempt on his life and it failed, it was when Abdullah went to Medina. When Abdullah went to Medina for business, that is when you see that the Jews, they got their hands on Abdullah and they killed him by poisoning him. He died there at a very young age in Medina, and he was killed. Now when they had assassinated him and they had murdered him, Abdullah, in Medina, so now the issue that happened was this, that the people of Medina, now the Jews who were in Medina, they had now two options. After they killed Abdullah, all they needed to find out was if Abdullah had a child or not. When they did their research, they found out that he did not have a child. When he did not have a child, you see, the report of Abdullah's death went among their circles to such an extent that they started to celebrate. They celebrated the death of Abdullah, and they were happy with it, that this is happening. So now when this was happening, and then they were happy with it, they were premature to think this way, because what happened is that they did research that he didn't have a child, but they never found out that his wife was pregnant. And that is the reason that they did not make any more attempts after that on the life of the Prophet, because they thought that he wasn't there. He did not exist. So that's why that on one hand you see that there was no attempt that was made on his life. On the other hand, Abdul Muttalib knew the circumstances and knew that there are many enemies who are going to kill the Prophet. So knowing that there are so many enemies out there, now you see it was Abdul Muttalib's decision that the Prophet does not, as a child, the Prophet does not live in Makkah. And hence, he made this tactical decision to send him to the village of Halime Sadia, that where he will be protected because of circumstances. If someone wants to come to kill this boy, they would be looking for him in Makkah. They would be looking for him among the people, and if they do not find him, then they will not have him. So he was sent to the village of Halime Sadia, where he spent the first 5 years of his life to protect him from the enemies who wanted to kill him. This is, you see, 5 years he spent away from his family, his mother also. His mother sacrificed him for 5 years of his life.
SubhanAllah.
His mother sacrificed him for 5 years of his life, kept her only child away from her so that he can be protected and safe.
SubhanAllah.
I see that. See the amount of sacrifice that is being done to save the Prophet. I mean, a mother whose only child is this child. He has no other children. And she let him go, knowing that if he stays in Makkah, his life is in danger. And so she allowed him to go away. And it so happened that Allah had made the arrangement of Halima. Allah made the arrangement for Halima. And you will hear more about Halima as we go on, and what she has done. But in all these things, one of the things I want to let you all understand, just one thing that you all need to understand before we go on, and that is important for us to know, as we speak about the childhood of the Prophet, send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Since the time of his birth, my friends, understand this, since the time of his birth, and anyone who wanted to take care of the Prophet, looked after him, Allah, from the time the Prophet was born, Allah made sure that the Prophet, no matter who was looking after him, the Prophet would never be indebted to anyone. The Prophet would never be indebted to anyone. That's why you see at the time of his birth, there was no one with Amina at the time of his birth. She fell into unconsciousness. And Allah sent Huris from heaven to give birth to the Prophet. His father died before he was born, so that no debt is there on the head of the Prophet. That he does not owe him for anything. Understand this? How Allah has made arrangements. Because of the fact that the Prophet came to make other people obey, not to obey other people.
SubhanAllah.
He did not come to obey other people, he came so that other people may obey him.
SubhanAllah.
And Allah made sure that everyone who looked after the Prophet, they did not give anything to the Prophet. It so happened that the Prophet and Allah's miracles made the way for everything the Prophet ate.
SubhanAllah.
That's why when a wet nurse was being looked for and no one was pleasing the Prophet, and he did not want to breastfeed from any of the women, the wet nurses that came, then you see that they saw one woman and amongst the group, because the group of these women came from a place where there was a drought. And the only reason they came there is because there was a need. They needed the money, they needed an income. So these witnesses came from this place, so this whole group came from this place, and you see that the Prophet did not go near anyone or would not take milk from anyone. And they saw that this Halima Sadia, she was an introvert, she was someone who was shy. And the reason that she was not approaching was because she also had children and only one of her breasts was milking. The other breast was not milking, it was dried. And then, so when they saw that the Prophet would not take anyone's milk, so they called Halima, that why don't you come and see? She said, but I only have one source of milk, and that is for my children. And see if this was, if you're going to offer you money for it, we're going to give you this, this and that. So they said that. And so she came forward and he did not take milk from her. He did not take milk from her, but it was an idea that came from Ghaib. An idea that came from Ghaib and said that his hands, it seems like he wants the other breast. But she said, this is dry, it has never milked in my whole life. I've never milked from this breast my whole life. It has been dried my whole life. And when the Prophet's lips went to her breast to take milk from the dry breast, you see right away the milk started to flow.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Son.
And right away you know that this was the woman, this was the one who was going to nurse him. Allah put that milk in her, right, from a breast that was dry for a whole life. Right, so that now that when he started to drink, this is known that it wasn't her, it was Allah that gave it to her.
SubhanAllah.
You see that? And in every incident that happened, you see in every house that the Prophet went for care, it was the blessing of the Prophet that brought so much risk into that house, that it wasn't the risk of the house that was spent on him, it was the risk that Allah gave him. Allah wanted to make sure that this Prophet, as he grows up, is not indebted to anyone. That no one can say that I gave this to the Prophet and I did this to the Prophet. Everyone who took care of him, and they all said, if you ask Halima, she said, I didn't do anything. When he came to our house, everything in our house started to blossom.
SubhanAllah. Beautiful.
You see that? Everything in the house started to blossom. Why? This was the risk that Allah is giving him, the blessing that He is giving him. And so Allah wanted to make sure that He raises the Prophet and no one else. That He raises the Prophet and no one else. And this is the reason why you can say that if anyone has to be looked at and said, and inshallah we will approach this, but I just want to give a hint to you. If anyone has done something for the Prophet, really, when Allah said in the Quran, Right? He says in the Quran, did we not find you an orphan and gave you a home?
Subhanallah.
So he said, we gave you a home. Right? Did we not find you wanting and we made you wealthy, or we made you having enough? We did it, no one else. We did it. And it so happened that no one can claim that they have done anything for the Prophet. No one can claim they have done anything for the Prophet. Right? No one has done anything for the Prophet as a person. That is why those who have helped the Prophet as a messenger of Allah, to them the Prophet himself thanked them for it.
Subhanallah, Hassan.
You see that? To them he's thankful. Allah says that, you know, when you had no protection, we protected you. When you had no home, we gave you a home. The home was not given by Allah to Imam, who the Prophet, it was given by Abu Talib.
Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It's Abu Talib who gave the house to the Prophet. He gave him a home to the Prophet. But you see, he did not give home thinking of him as a nephew. He gave him home thinking of him as the messenger of Allah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Otherwise, just like Allah was helping him through angels and through huris, he should have helped him through angels and huris. But when he came to the house of Abu Talib, that's when he was an orphan. You see, my friends, understand this. In Islam, wilayas, or your authority, now if you're a child, your authority is your father. He is your authority. If he dies, then the authority above him is your grandfather. Your grandfather, meaning the father of your father. So even if your father dies, the house of your grandfather is your house. And he is in the place of your father. He has authority over you. Understand that? But if the grandfather also dies, then you are an orphan. You see, then you're an orphan. If your father dies and your grandfather is living, you're still not an orphan, technically. You see, you're still not an orphan because your grandfather is still alive, and that's his house is your house. His job is to take care of you. Right? But when he dies, then you become an orphan. So the Prophet didn't become an orphan when Abdullah died. He did not become an orphan when Amina died. Because Abdul Muttalib was there. But when Abdul Muttalib died, when the grandfather died, that's when he technically became an orphan. That's when he became an orphan, and the one who gave him a home at the time,
Ya Allah,
at the time he became an orphan was Abu Talib.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
He gave him a home, and that is where he was raised. But you see, this incident, as I'm mentioning this to you, happened at the time of the Prophet. You see, when we go back and we see that no one had ever done anything to the Prophet from his own self. It is what Allah gave him because of the blessing of the Prophet in their house. There, this is the reason that any house that takes the name of the Prophet, that house is blessed. If you want to see your blessings increase in your house, then start taking the name of the Prophet more. You see, this is the reason why when he came, there was no one who did anything for him. So now, these people who were there, as he grew up there, and I'm going to go a little bit ahead right now to the age of 7 years, because I'm explaining about the Jews of Medina. After they assassinated Abdullah and he became Shaheed, so they thought that he does not have a son. But on the night of the birth of the Prophet, they saw these signs in the sky. When they saw these guys, they became confused. They said, what's going on here? We thought he had no child. If he had no child, our books, they say this. If this is not his child, then this goes against our books. And now we are really confused. Now we need to see what we need to do. So really, they started to do research. And because of this research, he went to the village of Halima Sadia. And also the way he grew up also was not like other children. He grew up very fast. He grew up very fast, meaning in the sense that he aged very fast. At the time he was 3 months, he started to walk. At the time he was 9, he started to run. At the time he was 16 months, he started to shoot arrows.
SubhanAllah.
You know, he was like bigger and older than other children of his age.
SubhanAllah.
This was done by Allah to protect him from his enemies. Because the enemies who would come to visit and see, because when they came in, they just can't ask. The Jews now were banned from asking any questions. No questions. They weren't allowed to ask questions in Mecca after all the assassination attempts they did. So if any Jew comes around to Mecca and started asking questions, oh, you know what, whose son is that, whose son is that? Right away, all the Meccans knew that these people are up to no good. So they couldn't ask questions, so they just had to recognize the child. The only way they had was to recognize the child. And when they would come, they would just be around there looking at the homes of the Hashimi clan and see who's who, what's going on, without asking people. Because whenever a group of Jews came to Mecca, they would be followed by the youth and the men of Hashimis. One or two people will be around them like spies. And see that, what are these people up to now? Because now, because of all the things they have done in the past, now if they came to Mecca, they were not trusted. So now what happened is that when this happened, when this was happening, when this was going on, at that time, you see, they went around and they would come and they would look for a child who's 1 year old. They won't look for a child who's 3 years old. You see, Allah raised the child, Allah raised the Prophet more than his age so that he can protect him from his enemies. He grew more than his age so that now you see a 3-4-year-old child, okay, this is not the child, he's not born last year. Right? He's not born last year, but he looks big now, you see. That's what was happening. And he raised him above other children so that he wouldn't be recognized by his enemies. Now when this was happening, it is now after a while they found out that yes, Abdullah had a child. After some years had gone, they found out that Abdullah did have a child. And at that time he was 6 years old. He was 6 years old and he used to walk around with Abdul Muttalib and Abu Talib. And he would look like a big youngster. Now, when they saw that he had a child, so a group amongst them, they made a plan. You know, say, well, let's see if he's real or not. Because you know what? All the attempts we did in the past, they all failed. We want to make sure that we are going to kill this kid, that he's actually the kid. Right? Not someone else. Right? We don't want to get into another mess that we have already been under. Right? Because every time they did anything to assassinate, you see, a lot of their people were killed. So now they didn't want to be killed. They want to make sure that if they're going to be killed, be it for the right reason. So they said, alright, if he's the messenger, one of their wise men and their alims, they told him, listen, if he's the messenger, it's easy to find out. A messenger of Allah does not eat haram food. And he does not eat any food in which there is doubt of it being haram. Right? In which there is doubt of it being haram. So they said, alright, you know. So they made a plan to test the Prophet. This is now written in history about this incident that happened. And the incident that happened was that the Jews, they came to Mecca for trade and they heard from Abdul Muttalib, you know, and they met him and happy to know him. He's the chief of Makkah and all these things. And they told him that, listen, we want to invite you for food, you know, for lunch or dinner, whatever it was, right, for a meal. Not just you, you come with every one of your family, all your male relatives, all of you come. We want to see you. You know, so it's alright. So they were invited to come. There was a woman in Makkah by the name of Zubaydah. Zubaydah had a poultry farm in her house. She had a poultry farm in her house. I mean, she used to raise chicken, hens. And those that used to lay eggs, you know, she'd keep them. After that, she would slaughter them and sell the chicken. And so what they did is that they went to her yard and they stole some chicken. Right? They stole some chicken. Right? They stole the chicken and they did it in such a way that, you know what, okay, half the chicken, they said,